something on my mind, I'll be thinking one way and talking another. You ever do that? Amen. But anyway, I'm glad I'm here. It's good to be here tonight. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 107 and verse 7 with me tonight. Psalm 107 and verse number 7. In Psalm chapter number 107, look at verse 6. The scripture says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." Father, in Jesus' name, give me unction tonight, Lord. I pray you open the hearts of the people to receive your word. In thy name we pray, amen. The leadership of the Lord, he leads his children. I'm glad for that. I'm glad God didn't save us and just turn us loose and say, do the best you can now. Hope you make it. There's a lot of folks out there, if you ask them if they're saved, oh, I hope so. And I know they mean well by saying that, but folks, you better have something more than a hope so. Salvation. You can know. You know you've passed from death into life. The divine leading. How many times has God tried to lead you one way and you decided you're going to go the other way? Everybody raise your hand. Good. Now, we want to get honest right from the start here tonight, and I'll kind of break the ice, you know, and how many realize you're not in a highbrow church? Raise your hand. Good. I'm glad you know that. Amen. You notice that we don't have a super saint section in here and anything like that. You know why? Because if a man gets close to God and the work of the Holy Spirit starts in his heart, he realizes it's only by the grace of God he'll ever get anything done. That's the truth. Only by the grace of God. God has led me at times when I led him. And sometimes I didn't let him. And because of that, I made some foolish mistakes. And I've continued to make some foolish mistakes. Now I'm sure I'll continue to make more foolish mistakes. I hope I've learned from a few of them. I've been burned a few times. I've fallen in a few ditches, gotten a few holes, got stuck in a rut. Made some wrong choices. Don't despair. You will too. It's going to happen to you. But it doesn't have to stay that way. You'll find out the Lord is a gracious, gracious God. And you'll find out that even though that you've rebelled against him and he knows it and you know it, he'll still come back and pick you up again, brush you off, and start you again. Amen. Look over here in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 10. The scripture says he found him in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. That's where he found me. A desert land, a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. When I first got saved, my Lord God and my Savior began at that moment to lead me. I wanted the truth more than anything. Because I'd spent 27 years of my life in a lie. I could not take in enough of the truth of God's Word. I tried some stuff. It got me a little bit off course, thinking that I was trying to learn more, deeper things in God. Found out I was in the wrong place. God got me back. A lot of people have done that. If you haven't, you may plan to do it. You may think that there's a deeper life that's just waiting you somewhere. I'll tell you where you'll find your deeper life. The deeper you go in your closet and shut that door, there you'll find your deeper life. The closer you get to God, that's where you'll find your deeper life. A lot of heady, high-minded theology, and that's all it is. It's nothing in the world more than that. But he, as our Savior, leads us out of the desert. He led me out, didn't he? He led you out, didn't he? He led you out. He leads you out of the desert. He sure does. He leads you out of it. In the book of John chapter number 16 and verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." He's a great teacher. And being a great teacher, he'll guide you into the truth of God in the right way. How many of you have ever heard someone that's so highly recommended and then all of a sudden red flags started going up when you listen to them? Red flags. That's the Holy Ghost, folks. That's the Holy Spirit. The Word of God's consistent. truth is consistent. I don't care where you come from. And a lot of times people are, they rise to prominence on the back of philosophy and psychology and charisma, but not because of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He's our guide. If you've got the Holy Spirit in you and you are full of the Holy Spirit, red flags will fly up so fast when you start hearing heresy and get in the wrong way, quickly, quickly. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32 and verse 11, the scripture says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead me, and there was no strange God with him." As an eagle, the Lord leads us. As a Savior and a teacher, and now as an eagle, the Lord leads us. I have great respect for eagles. I talked about them Sunday. I really do. If you want to see some bald eagles, go to that Clinch River right over there next to Clinton. And they're all along up through there. If you get out there and wade around in that river or walk up and down the banks of that river, you're surely going to see a bald eagle. I was amazed at how close they are in. And they're there. My, what a beautiful bird. Down in Florida, South Carolina, right outside of Charleston, they've got some poles, huge poles sitting on the side of the road. And on top of those poles, they have these huge nest. Eagles. People love eagles, don't they? It's quite a bird. Well, that's the way the Lord bears you up. He'll carry you as high as you let him.
Amen.
How high can he take you? He'll carry you as high as you let him. He will. He'll carry you as high as you let him. In the book of Psalm, chapter number 23 and verse 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." It's said that sheep don't like to drink from running water, so he takes them by the still waters. I'm sure if a sheep was thirsty enough, he'd probably drink from running water, but he would prefer the still water. Quietness, where the shepherd would lead them. And sometimes in times like that, God does the greatest teaching in the hour of quietness, in the hour of when stress is gone, in time that you can receive something from the Lord. Have you ever gotten anything from God and you knew you got it from God? I mean, really, that's quite a thing. You knew you got something from God. Either a scripture comes alive for you, or he showed you something in your life, or you realize God had warned you about a thing, or you see a door open, but you know the hand of God's in it. You know it. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. Well, I know what God's done for me. He's done for me time and time again. And he has led me by some still waters. That's when he takes you out of the battle for a while. Lets you go out and recuperate, some rest and relaxation. In the military, they called it R&R. Back when I was in the military, they used to go to Hawaii, and they had R&R, about 30 days of it out of Vietnam. They'd go over there for about 30 days and stay in Hawaii, get away from the bullets and get away from the killing. And for about 30 days, they had R&R. That's quite a thing, get away. Then they had to go back to the war zone. I'm afraid we're about to go into another war zone. I'm afraid the wars are going to get bigger. I'm afraid they're going to be bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm afraid that we're approaching a time that the Bible talks about, Armageddon. And I see it coming, and I don't think there's anything that's going to be done to change it. You cannot enslave people who have character, folks. People who believe something, you cannot enslave them. You may fence them in, but you'll never make a slave out of them. As long as they have character, as long as they believe something, as long as they have morality, as long as these people have been bred, you can't enslave them. But when you take the morality away from a people and you reduce them in their own sight to nothing more than groveling dogs, they'll do anything. And that's where the people are in this country now. They're groveling dogs. Our teenagers, our kids are coming up 14, 15 years old, groveling dogs. I recorded a thing today from Dr. Phil. I seldom ever watch him, but my wife was watching him. She said, "Record this." It was about the sex life of 14, 15, 16-year-old kids. You would be nauseated at what they're doing and what they're doing in plain sight. when you have reduced a nation's morality to the point to where the next generation that comes on is nothing but a groveling dog by the time it's 14, you've about got the job done. So they can enslave Americans. Oh, Americans boast and brag about how free they are. But they will bow to the hand of totalitarianism and the dictatorship of a one world government just as surely as you live. They'll bow so they can eat and so they can drink and so they can be merry. They'll do anything to maintain their present death style. Mark it down. And the Lord's going to take us out of here right before that Antichrist signs that covenant. It's sick. It's sick. It's sick. When we went to proms in 1960, I never went to a prom, but when we had our prom in 1964, the graduating class always has a prom. And I've got an annual. You can see what the girls wore to the prom in 1964. They wore long dresses, and they had high-topped dresses. They were very modest in their apparel. That was at Rural High School. Now, what goes on the floor would make you sick on the dance floor. And the teachers are trying to stop it and can't even stop it. It's getting bad, isn't it, folks? Yeah, it is. In Isaiah chapter number 58 and verse 11, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. I'm glad for that. Hallelujah. Thank God he's got my life in his hands. Amen. He'll guide me. And he's faithful. He's faithful. The Lord is faithful. And one thing I've learned about him, I haven't always been faithful. The fact is, I've come up short time and again. But he's been faithful. He's been faithful. Have you ever, with a broken and a contrite spirit, gone into a prayer closet and God wasn't there? No. But if you go in there with an arrogant heart, you won't find him. He resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. He'll always be there. That's his faithfulness. He's faithful and just. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verse 31, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. My. A father dealing with his child. I have no memory whatsoever of my father and any relationship I had with him. I can only faintly remember seeing him two or three times. All of my relationship was with my grandfather. That was my father. A father, though, is a very needful thing. You have whole communities where kids are running around, don't have a clue who their daddy is. Don't have a clue. Women lying up in homes having one baby right after another on welfare, they don't even have a clue who the daddy is. It perpetuates itself from generation to generation to generation. What kind of a culture do you think that's going to produce? Without a father in a home, you're not going to have a home. You got a house, you need a father. God's my father. I've learned I've got a father. I especially learned that when he saved me. I began to sense that fatherhood of God. And he bore me. Amen. My father. Mr. Letterman up there that works for CBS and cracks jokes at night has been... Has by his own admission been involved in a number of extramarital affairs with some of the women that work up there. And when he told those people, I saw on Fox News, that he told them he'd been having sex with some of his workers, they clapped. They applauded the man. What did they applaud him for? Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? Do you realize how morally corrupt and filthy the average American is? It's hard to take. That's hard to understand. It's hard to take, but that's the truth. They talk about, oh, a shocking thing. But no shocking thing. What are you talking about? Shock who? Well, this jaded generation couldn't be shocked with the only thing shocking 440 volts. That might shock them. But shocked? They're not shocked. They're not shocked with anything. And so this man, one of the writers of the New York Post, and she's probably a liberal feminist, but she called for his head. I can forget her name, but I read her article, and I thought it was pretty good. Here's this liberal feminist, and she says that CBS ought to get rid of Dave, that he is a shame and a disgrace to their network and to morality and to any image that they intend to project to the public. They should get rid of him. Now, here's bottom line. How much money does he make for CBS? That's the bottom line. The love of money is the root of all evil. It amazes me how people can be moral or immoral according to a dollar bill. Yeah, you better believe it. But my father won't let me do that. Letterman's father is the devil. You are of your father, the devil, John 8:44. But my father would not let me get away with that.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. He wouldn't let me get away with it. I don't want to try to get away with it. But even if I tried to get away with it, he wouldn't let me get away with it. Why? I belong to him. If you belong to God and he's your father, he's got a chastening rod. He sure does. He's got a chastening rod. And he knows how to use it. He'll take you to the woodshed. Oh, I know the ACLU comes along and they say this is child abuse. Department of Human Services gets involved in it. You can't even whip your child today. You run up before a bunch of psychologists, a board of psychologists and psychiatrists, and they analyze you and they tell you that you should never lay a hand on your child and that you should deal psychologically and talk to your children and talk to your children and talk to your children. Talk, 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 talk. Then why do the cops take clubs to men and women when they arrest them? Why don't they just talk them into the police car? Yeah. In Revelation chapter number 7 and verse 17, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Isn't that an amazing thing? A Savior, a teacher, an eagle, a shepherd, a guide, a father, and now a lamb. God leads his dear children alone. A lamb, the Lamb of God. Isn't that an amazing thing too? That in heaven, before the throne of God, before the judgment, it will always be known forever that the Lamb, a lamb, defeated the great red dragon? It will be. It was as the Lamb of God that the Lord Jesus Christ put the fatal blow to Satan.
Amen.
Satan in his strength assaulted the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that Christ suffered in his weakness. So in his weakness, he destroyed the strength of the devil. Holiness in weakness is stronger than immorality and wickedness and evil in its strength. And I'm going to tell you something tonight I firmly believe. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I do firmly believe this. The reason I do is because the God that I serve, I do believe that good will overcome evil. I do believe the day will come when God proves himself right in the way he's dealt with man. I believe the day will come when God's righteousness will be manifested and his works toward man will be justified. The Bible says in the book of Romans, when thou art judged, and God will be judged. There are those who say today, and they would say to you, why? What's the purpose? Why let people continue to be born if they're just going to die and burn in hell forever? God is God, and he knows the answer. And I trust him. I trust him. I believe that every soul that goes to hell deserves to go to hell. And I believe when they go to hell, they go to hell forever. And I believe when they go to hell, they go to hell as a judgment from God. And I believe when they go to hell, they stay in hell and there's no getting out of hell. And I believe when they go to hell, they'll bow their head and say, I receive what I justly do. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. Luke chapter 16. It's a horrible thought. It's a terrible thing. I don't like the doctrine. But there's nothing you can do about it. It's Bible.
Amen.
It's scriptural. Man is going to give an account. He has to answer for his life. You can't just run over people and live any way you please. And I don't care if you wear your collar backward and carry crosses around. If you molest children and treat people like a dog, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Because once a man or a woman comes under the blood of Jesus Christ, once that blood washes their sins away and changes them from a child of hell to a child of God, they change their nature. They're not what they used to be. They're different. They're different. They're different. That's not a Baptist doctrine. That's a Bible doctrine. So, that lamb. Say, well now, preacher, this was Pat. No, it's not. I believe you'll see the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God.
Yes, sir.
I do believe you will. And I don't know how God will do it, but you'll see the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Don't know how that'll be. I don't have a clue, but I know we'll see Him. We'll see Him as He is. I believe in one God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. One God. I do. I believe, and I know He's there. And one day I'm going to see Him. Sometimes it gets hard, folks. Sometimes the path gets difficult. Sometimes it's very trying. And you have to work through that time of difficulty. You can't just throw your hands up and quit. You can't say, well, God's forsaken me. No, He hadn't forsaken you. He will not forsake you. He said, I will never, never, ever, ever, ever. That's an emphatic statement over there where it says, He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That never means He will never, 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 never leave thee nor forsake thee. He can't. He'd deny His nature if He did. He'd deny His word if He did. He'd deny His holiness if He did. He won't leave you. And when you come through it, you'll come through it better. You'll come through it stronger. You'll come through it with less of you and more of Him. Isn't that good? But you will come through. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Amen? You knock a just man down, the Bible says to get up seven times. Amen. You can't keep him down. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray You'd use this little bit I had here tonight for the folks. God, that's all I've got, Lord. It's all I've got. But I pray You'd use it. Glorify Yourself. Bless Your name. Bless Your holy name. You've been good to me, Lord. God, tonight I'm not shouting, but I'm a believer. And I believe You and I trust You. And I bless Your name for who You are. And God, we're going to trust You, Lord, on the mountaintop, and we're going to trust You in the valley. We're going to trust You when the sun hides its face from us, and we're going to trust You when it shines. We're going to trust You when we walk in victory, and we're going to trust You when we don't see anywhere to walk, period. We're going to trust You. We're going to trust You in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, they put little Samuel over here at Children's Hospital. He's in Children's Hospital. I found out about that right before the service. I don't know how bad he is. I don't know what's happening to him, but please pray for Samuel.